Revelation 5, or 4. Don't worry about the verse. Thank you. At once, John, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which were the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. Those four living creatures are called the seraphims. It means burning ones. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes, all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures, whenever the seraphims give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders falls down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. That's what we were singing now. I want you, just for a moment before we get into the word this morning, just take your eyes with John into the scene, the throne. See Him seated. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, the host of heaven. Right in the center of it all is our glorious God. And they sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And it starts with the seraphim, and then the angels bow, and then the heavens roar with the sound of praise. And then your people, Lord, they lift their hands to you. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy." But it starts with the seraphim. And then the elders bow down, and then the heavens roar with a sound of praise. And then your people, Lord, they lift their hands to you. They sing, "Holy." They sing, "Holy." They sing, "Holy." They sing, "Holy is the Lord." Amen. I was, when we started reading the vision, you know, when we sing about the train of His robe, He had this vision of the train of His robe filling the temple, right? Do you know what that means? It in ancient times, when one king went into battle with another king, if he's victorious over the other, then what they will do is they will take the robe of the other king and they will add it onto his robe. So when he goes into battle, it's visible to other kings and kingdoms how many other kingdoms he has overcome in battle. And so when he sees the vision of the train of his robe filling the king, the temple court, he's saying, we are beholding the king above all kings. The one who conquered every other kingdom, domain and dominion. You are seeing the highest one. The train of his robe filling the temple. Are you guys okay this morning? I have mixed emotions. I'm not going to share long. I really felt for the last 2 days. Thank you. For the last 2 days, the Lord wanted me to unpack the character of our good Father on Father's Day out of Psalm 23. But I now see that we won't get through Psalm 23 today. So I might take little pockets, if that's okay, and talk about our Father on Father's Day. The kindest one I know. Has there ever been anyone as kind as him? Has there ever been anyone as generous as him? Has there anyone ever been so full of mercy and wisdom and patience? I think the last time we were here, we started talking about maybe the glory of God. I can't remember, but it's so incredible the first time God speaks about who he is by nature in scriptures when he walked past Moses. Do you remember that scene on the mountain? What is the first thing he said about himself? Do you know? He walked past Moses. Then he said, I am the Lord, merciful. It's the first thing he says about his nature. The first attribute he highlights is mercy. I'm kind. I'm kind. And I don't know why, something that he shared when he was speaking about of the prayer time, reminded me of Stephen's speech just before he got stoned. But he says something so profound in one of his little... So he unpacks this whole thing theologically, you know, and... But listen to this. This is not... I've not given her this. This is just spontaneously. This is Acts 7, and I wanted to read you something. Show you something of the heart of your God. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt. Until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. And he dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their families so that they would not be kept alive. Listen to this now. At this time, Moses was born. And he was beautiful in God's sight. See what he's saying? He said, in that day, Moses was born. And God looked at him and said, you are beautiful to me. Beautiful. I shared this last time, but it's good to hear again. My middle boy, Gilan, something beautiful about, let me share this. This is something that's family news. So they won't mind me sharing that. But I came now from the States I was there for about 11, 12 weeks. And my family joined me for 6 of those. And in the 6 weeks, Gilan, we were sitting in the jacuzzi playing, the three of us, me and the two little boys. We started chatting. And he asks me, so Daddy, how do I get Jesus to live inside me? Do you pray a prayer and then I follow that prayer and then that happens? How does this work? And I'm like, wait. What are you saying? Do you want to give your life to him? He said, yes. I said, well, it's very simple. It's personal. He's not looking for the right words. He's looking for the right heart. Do you believe in him? I said, yes, Daddy. And so we're there in the jacuzzi. I said, you talk to him from your heart. And he prayed. I said, I believe in you, Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you can live in me. And to see that, the wonder and the beauty. Because salvation is really the story of adoption. It's Romans 5. It's being born back into the family of God as a son and a daughter. It's restoring what he lost in Eden when Adam sinned. But we were sitting one day on the couch and I asked him the question. I think I told you guys this story, but this is where I want to go a little bit. And I said, Gitlan, where is your beginning? Where did you begin? And he said to me, the day I was born. And I said, well, kind of, but it's not the whole story. Right? I said, no, you began long before then when I was on my knees asking the Father to give me a little boy. That's where you began. And then he kind of caught that. And then I said to him, but your beginning is even more ancient than that, because you started in the heart of a Father that wanted you before everything was made. And that's not only his story, it's your story. Why did God make you? It's because he wanted you. Wanted you. No? There's this question I stumbled upon that's really, really bringing me into deeper revelation of the Father. And it's the question, who was God? What was God doing before anything was made? Do you know? Before stars, universe, before he was ruler, creator, healer, before all those attributes came to play, into play, what was he doing? When it was only the Trinity. Sorry? Yes. I love that. So in John 17, verse 24, it's not there. I know she's looking. We're now, John 17, verse 24, Jesus says, the Father has loved me before the foundations of the earth. So in the words of Jesus, what was God doing before anything was made? God was a Father loving a Son. And eternally, Jesus is saying, I was that Son that was loved by my Father. So can you think about that? Eternally, God has been a Father-loving Son. So here's something I wanted you to see before we jump into the Word. Father is not a quality in God. It's not an attribute or one of His excellencies. It's His nature. God is a Father. And all the other attributes and excellencies of His springs forth from that fountain of Father. He created as a Father. He rules as a Father. He touches as a Father. He's always been a Father. The words of Jesus. And so John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. Remember Jesus saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So John is saying, the Word of God comes into the earth as a man, as a son. So what is the preceding Word of God that comes into the earth? It's a son revealing the nature of his Father. It's the mission of Jesus. I was praying one day and I said, Father, I want to know you more intimately. I want to see your face. I want to encounter you. More of you, Lord. And he whispered into my heart, do you want to see me? Do you want to know me? And I was like, yes. And he said to me, go find me and my son, the one who reveals the Father, the one who's the very radiance of the glory of God. Are you guys with me? That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. Now that he has given me authority to give eternal life. So the Father has now given Jesus the authority to give eternal life. Now Jesus is going to qualify eternal life. He says, and this is eternal life, that you may know him. So Jesus doesn't only come to reveal the Father. He comes, and by his death and resurrection, we now in him share in his sonship with the Father. Beautiful picture. You're no longer an orphan. You are a son and a daughter, born of him, born into him, and he's not distant. I wanted us to read Psalm 23, and I'm going to just tackle some pockets out of it. Is that okay? Can you put Psalm 23 on? Thank you. That verse I think I gave you. So listen to this beautiful story before we jump into the psalm. A couple of weeks ago in Sunningdale PM, that's the congregation where I serve, and they asked me to just, you know, bring the people into the journey of America and what happened. And I take the mic, and there's a couple in our church that's sitting to my left. And as I took the mic, I felt the Spirit of the Lord coming upon me, and the Lord said, That daughter, I want you to sing over her. How much I love her. How beautiful she is. I want her to hear the voice of her Father. And she would be the only one that evening. So I minister over her like this. The Father says, you're beautiful. You're lovely. You're his. You belong to him. And she just weeps and weeps and weeps. I mean, people are sitting around her, holding her, hugging her. She really wept. And I could see just, she was touched by the love of the Father in that moment. So after the service, she came to me and she said, can I tell you something about today? And what made what the Lord did so special to me? She's never ever in her life heard the voice of her biological father. And she's working through healing stuff, and she made contact with him. And she said that whole day, she was hoping that he will communicate back to her. So she said the whole day, she would go to his number to see whether he replied. Quiet. And she said she came to church, and as they drove to church, she was saying to the Lord, I'm so disappointed today. Because I really, really hoped that I could hear my dad's voice for the first time. And she said, but then you called me out and you said, your father wants to sing over you. And she said, immediately what dropped into her spirit was, she's going to hear the voice of her real father today. He's good. He's not distant, cold, and far. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So that word, he makes me lie down. The Hebrew word that David uses there is when an animal is relaxed. He's not threatened by prey. And he lies down without being afraid of anything. He makes me lie down. No threat. Totally relaxed. Green, the word green there means the Hebrew word that David used. It has this notion of a very pleasant, lovely, spacious, safe, beautiful. And the word pasture there, the root Hebrew word, is the word for home. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That want is, there will be, I will go through it now, but he makes me, he brings me into a place where it's so safe, it's so pleasant, it's so lovely. There's no fear, no threat. It's called the house of the Lord. In this house, I'm fed. There's more than enough. It's the Father's house. It starts with the Lord is my shepherd. Just keep it there. We'll go through it. I'll just mention the scriptures. You don't have to put it on. Thank you. Anyways, I'll just stay with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 40, the Lord says, he prophesies, he says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. The idea of God being a shepherd is a theme that carries right through Scripture. And it's more than just revealing our Savior, it's revealing the Father and the nature of our Savior. That God in himself is a shepherd, someone who nourishes, cares, feeds, protects. I love in the book of Isaiah, it says, Lord, you have been our Father always. And then it goes one verse later and it says, and your name has been our Redeemer from ancient times. A Father that is a Redeemer by nature. John 10, verse 7 to 15. Can you maybe put that one on for me? I'm giving you. Are you guys with me? Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Now listen to this. All who came before me were thieves. He's saying, I'm not like a thief or a robber that comes to take from you. My nature is not to take from you. I have come to give you life. In the 1 John, it calls God the God of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not like a thief and a robber that comes in for your destruction. No, I'm a shepherd. I come to give you life and to keep you safe, to hedge you in. And do you remember the priestly prayer when God brought the nation out of Egypt and gathered them at the mountain? And he said to the priests, I want you to bless my people with this. And the priests will then sing over the people or speak over the people. The Lord bless you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord hedge you. The Lord makes his face shine up. You know that verse, what I'm talking about? Right? And you know what the word blessing means in the Hebrew? It's the word barak. It means to bow your knee and to give a gift. That's what the word means. To bow your knee, to come underneath, to come low, to give a gift. So the Lord wanted his people who's now been under a tyrant, a robber, a thief, a man who's just taken from them and taken from them and taken from them. He says, tell my people, I'm not like Pharaoh. Tell them I'm the one who comes down on my knees, underneath them. And I give them the gift of life. I've not come to take. I'm your Father. I'm a good shepherd. And when he spoke to them this blessing, what he was doing is God was actually putting his nature on his people. I'm a Father. I'm a Father. Let's read further. And if you ever come before me with thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and I have it to the full. Isn't it beautiful? And I have it to the full. That's John 4, the woman at the well. If you only knew, you would have asked me. If you only knew the gift I wanted to give you, you would have asked me. And you would have drank from the fountain of life, and within you would burst forth fountains and rivers of life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. That's so beautiful. Jesus is making it very personal there. He's saying, I'm not in it to gain anything from it. I'm not a hireling. I am so forcefully, fiercely committed to you. It's personal. No one's paying me to do this. I'm not getting something out of it for me. I've not been brought in from the outside. I do not get paid to do this. I do this because I love you. The nature of the Father. The Hebrew word shepherd that David uses there means to feed, to tend. It has this meaning of companion and intimate friendship. A companion and intimate friendship. That word shepherd, it's an interesting thing. It's the root word of shepherd that David uses there is found in the name of Ruth. And Ruth refused to leave her mother-in-law Naomi. She refused to leave. The Father is fully committed to you. Can we jump back to Psalm 23, please? And I'm almost closing. What time do we have? Till like 12:30. What time do you land? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. I'm going to jump there. You guys still okay? I want to touch on two things. Three more things in this psalm. That's it. He restores my soul. Actually, if you want to read that in better Hebrew grammar, it actually doesn't say he restores my soul. A better way of saying it is he returns my soul to what it was originally. And how many of you have been really sick in your life? I mean, really sick. You're like bedridden. You're feeling, and then 2-3 days, the medicine starts kicking in and someone comes in and say, hey, how are you feeling? And you say, I'm starting to feel like myself again. Have you ever said that? That's what David means. David was hiding from Saul when he wrote Psalm 23. So he was saying, he's returning my soul to me. I remember the days when I was taken care of by the Lord, where there was peace, when my soul was whole. And he's returning me to that place in him. He's returning my soul to the place of health. And I felt when I was reading that this morning, I felt there are some of you here today, God actually wants to return your soul to the way it was before you were broken. And that's really actually the story of the cross, if I delve into it in depth. How in Christ he now returned us to the innocence we had before Adam fell. But he wants to restore your soul. That's the nature of the Father. He's been a redeemer from old. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to. The second thing I want to touch on, and even though I walk through the valley, just go one back for me, please. Thank you. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the word path there that David uses talks about a staircase, a spiral staircase. And have you seen that, like a staircase go up and then as it goes, it narrows? You know what I'm talking about? So David says an interesting thing. He says, the Lord leads me on these cycles of righteousness. Not paths, cycles. Have you ever said in your life, yes, man, it feels like I've been here before. Or it just feels like I've come around the mountain again.